The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Area taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, where sports betting lives from Circa, the mothership right here in downtown Las Vegas. Kelly, good morning, sir. What is going on with the sky?
Oh, you mean like the sandstorm that's going on outside?
Is that what that is?
I have no idea.
Did you notice there was a haze?
Yes, I noticed. Yes, I meant to text you about it. No, we did not talk about this pre-show, obviously.
No.
I meant to text you about it because it's another great example of how terrible I am at checking any type of weather things here in Vegas.
I did the same thing. I looked. I was like, is this real clouds or is this something? It's something because it shows sunshine all day long. So okay. is it a sandstorm or fire?
It's probably wind just kicking up sand.
Or wind moving.
Or maybe it's fire. I don't know. This is so bad.
That's your Doppler radar forecast.
I mean, when it rains like 5 days a year out here,
right.
it's like you don't get in the habit of checking weather apps very often.
At all. But there is a strange haze over the city. Did you watch the debate last night?
I did watch most of it.
Oh, did you really?
I did watch most of it. I mean, it was pretty lengthy. A lot of it was repeated, you know.
If you didn't like Kelly Bidlin on weather, now you get Kelly Bidlin on politics. I'm very proud of you for watching most of that.
Oh, thank you.
Good for you. Your civic duty was performed.
That's right. Was it on TV too? And I went back and forth a lot. Yeah, because you know there's a lot of repetition of their points. I get it.
You find the candidates repetitious.
Yes, I do.
Yes. I don't know if you've ever seen a debate before. It was interesting from a betting line standpoint. Again, we talk about the election here, apolitically speaking, but I think the biggest takeaway from it last night was that the moderator from ABC News, David Muir, was sort of the central figure of this debate. And if you are a Trump supporter, the sort of most common reaction was, oh, he only challenged former President Trump. He didn't challenge Vice President Harris at all. And so it was a skewed debate. That was the average Trump supporter reaction. I think the person that is supporting Vice President Harris, their reaction, unlike the previous one between former President Trump and President Biden, where nothing was challenged by moderators on CNN, I think that their position was, well, if Kelly Bidlin says to me, Gil, you're eating cats and dogs in a certain city, that a moderator should be allowed to sort of challenge that comment
and say
local officials, just so everyone knows, have found that no pets have been harmed in the process. So that was an interesting reaction. That it was a much more sort of proactive response from the moderators. And as far as the betting lines are concerned, and we will talk about this, we're less than 2 months from now until the election, before the debate at BetMGM Ontario, where apparently they're allowed to take bets on the American election north of the border. We love you, Game Plus. It was minus 135 on Trump, plus 110 on Kamala Harris prior to the debate. After the debate, it had gone to former President Trump minus 120, Vice President Harris minus 110. And this morning that has flipped to Vice President Harris being minus 120 and former President Trump being minus 110. So for those who are interested in that kind of thing, that's where that is after the debate that Kelly Bidlin watched.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think no surprise there on the odds move, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
How many debates have you watched in your young life?
I mean, I'd like to think, I don't appreciate this line of questioning, okay?
So what do you mean? Am I suggesting something?
Yeah, I feel like you're suggesting something. And, if there was a random NBA regular season basketball game on last night, would it have made the screen? Probably not.
If there was a Mac game last night.
You know what, Gil? I'd like to think that I've watched most of all of them, okay? But I'm very truthful about last night. Like, come on. Yeah. As soon as I hear the same point brought up the fifth time, I'm like, and mute TV too and turn up volume TV. What?
What is the lowest level sporting event you would have watched over that? A Maction game?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I mean, CFL, without a doubt.
CFL you would have watched over?
Yeah, that's just
American.
Give me a great Ottawa Red Blacks game. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
A little Alouettes and the Argonauts.
Yeah, a little Alouettes.
Okay. You know, I got a tweet yesterday from somebody who was talking about the Megapod. By the way, beating the book Megapod, which tremendous response and downloads the first one again. I'm always humbled by the response to that show and in Guessing Lines as well, which airs here. And then we put it in podcast form. That's even more awesome from everybody who listens. They're loyal for 14 years now doing these. Joe Pita, by the way, Joe Pita will be the guest on this week's Megapod. But someone, I think correctly, I want to say it was our buddy, you know, Jordan. What was it? What was his name? I will say, oh, is that your, was that your real name? Anyway, he said on Twitter, hey, could you, in the middle of the Megapod, could you run back the picks? Because you guys go off on some tangents, and so it's, I might not get to them, and so I just need a recap. We like to do it on this show. We remind ourselves, Kelly and I do, that once we do guessing lines and we give the picks, we don't often come back to our picks until Friday.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that.
Well, I think especially for you, right? Because a lot of times I've made bets on Sunday off of openers and we're doing guessing lines. But I know it's as you're going through it, it's, oh, hey, that number's way off.
I put them in right
afterwards.
Probably
going to be a bet for me. So, yeah, we'll usually try to do it on Tuesdays, but we're here on Wednesday doing it.
I feel like a complete square ball this week. Is that allowed?
Hey, Kelly and the Square Bears, hop on board,
I
buddy.
I feel completely like a square ball. These are the plays that I have made. And this is all based on our sort of our guessing lines exercise, which again, the point is it's sort of an interactive thing. You know, hopefully you're doing your own guessing lines while we're doing it. And the point of that is to sort of extract value. But I ended up with four favorites, which I don't ever like that. One of which is, and I wanted to get in, and one of them is worse. One of my plays is worse than what it's available at now. But what I ended up with was the four that I sent you, which was, I took Miami, right? Because I thought Miami being under three, and they were what they were one at the time. Let me guess. I'm going to get the exact lines that I bet because I don't want to make up. So I'm calling it right now. But it's, I think I got it one or one and a half. Let me make sure. Yes. And so now it's two or two and a half on that. So, one and a half is where I got the Miami Dolphins against the Buffalo Bills. Again, that's Thursday night. I didn't think there was any justification for that being under three. I know there's a lot of people who say, of course it should be under three. Well, I don't see it that way. Miami minus one and a half was where I got that at. It's about two consensus now. I got the Ravens at 9.5 at minus 115 because I figured this is going to 10. So let me grab it before it gets to 10.
I'm about to pause you right there. Yes. Interesting thing going on in the market with this today.
Yes.
It's like almost blanketed 9.5s yesterday. We have 10s, but we also have 9s.
Where are the 9s?
Circa's got 9. DraftKings got 9.
Okay, there you go.
We've got, let's see, a couple offshores with 10. Station's got 10. Southpoint's got 9.5. So we're scattered throughout. I guess we should mention Lamar Jackson, but I don't really know that I'm reading into that at all. Mispracticed on Monday. The dude, if it's not in his actual contract, at this point, it's just got to be an understanding between him and Harbaugh that he's going to regularly take some practice.
Practice optional?
Yes, practice is optional.
So I got the Ravens at minus 9.5 because I think they're going to absolutely roll the Raiders. This feels like one of those typical Ravens home games where they just beat up on somebody and win by 30. Anyway, that's what I'm going with.
I completely agree. I was a little stunned yesterday with Drew.
Drew and I were oppo on everything.
Yeah, I was a little stunned when he said he was on the Raiders.
Yeah. Now, this one I got at a worse number that currently exists. I got the Cowboys at minus 6.5. I thought that was going to go to 7 against the Saints. Nope, it's 6 a lot of places now on the Cowboys.
Only a couple that I'm seeing out there. Mainly 6.5.
Okay.
But that's a good point, though. If this goes... I mean, if it's 5.5, I'm definitely on the Cowboys side. At 6, though, even though I got to think about that.
I don't know what we know. Did we learn anything about the Saints against the Panthers?
Not at all.
I don't want to not give them credit, but at the same time, I just think, you know, that's part of, if you step back and you think about what these two football teams did. By the way, there's a lot of, you know, listen, there's a lot of Deshaun Watson hate after his performance week one. I know there's off the field stuff that create hate as well. But as far as his performance on the field, there's a lot of hate about that. But he did play the Dallas Cowboys defense, which is filled with players and filled with so much talent. So, like, I don't, you know, for everything, I don't want to overreact. And for me, the Cowboys are a way more talented team than the Saints are.
So, like, let's just, I think both those teams, Saints and Cowboys, right? Did they probably get a bump by, you know, odds makers, a lot of bettors out there, just a lot of casual bettors out there? Yeah, they probably got a bump after week one, each of them, right? Saints absolutely dismantling the Panthers, and then the Cowboys going into Cleveland and picking up that win. But I think you kind of hit on it. What is more sustainable? What do you actually trust in being more real in what you saw? And it's more to the Cowboys than the Saints to me. So yeah. I don't disagree with that play at all.
The other one I grabbed, because people are convinced I hate the Lions. Remember last year I would never power rank the Lions above like 8 or 9 at the end.
You hate them, yep.
Yeah, I hate the Lions. Here's who I hate, according to people. I hate the Lions. I hate the Bills. I love this. Every tennis player not named Iga, hate them too. That's right. I got the Lions -7 against the Buccaneers. I think, you know, Todd Wright, our buddy, who used to come on our show regularly, talk fantasy with us. Todd Wright, the greatest sports radio host there ever was, in my opinion, when he did Up All Night with Todd Wright at over at ESPN Radio. He said to me before that Lions-Rams game, Sunday night, he had mentioned this offseason. He goes, he thinks the winner of that Lions-Rams game is going to host the NFC Championship against that same opponent.
Interesting. Okay.
And so the Lions end up winning this. We'll do our power rankings tomorrow, I believe. We'll see. I think I have the Lions higher than ever before. Lions, people who think I hate the Lions. But I got them -7 here against the Buccaneers, who similarly with the Saints, I don't know that we learned anything from 1 week. Again, I'm fighting the general consensus recency bias on this stuff. Just because Baker Mayfield went 24 of 30 against a sieve of a Washington defense who was no account, no tackling, no covering, no nothing, no talent. I don't think the Bucs are necessarily great. Now, they may cover, and I may be wrong here, but as far as my feelings on it right now, those four bets were made.
Yeah, this is
all favorites. I don't like that, though.
I'm kind of looking at the over in that game, even though it keeps rising, so I probably should have bet it already. You've got major, major Tampa Bay cluster injuries in that secondary, so that is going to be a big-time advantage for Detroit.
Like the Cowboys on turf, like the Lions on turf, like all that. We'll come back. Some baseball. Mark Borchardt. Base winner on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, we never say our Twitter handles. You notice that?
No, we don't.
We just throw them on the screen.
Yeah, they're always on there if you're watching.
I guess I say at Beating the Book when I read the tweets all the time. But Kelly Bidlin is strangely not at Kelly Bidley. It's at Kelly Bidlin. he spells his name EYKELLEYBYDLON.
Yeah, it was not that for a long time. Do you remember the primetime action night?
I do, when we gave you so much Matt specifically.
Yeah, I was going to say, Matt discovered it was free. Yeah. And then was I don't think he was going to leave that night until I changed. Grabbed the username. Yeah.
Well, because he has the name Matt Brown and there's roughly 5 bajillion Matt Browns. He couldn't believe that you wouldn't take advantage of having your own name.
At Matt Brown M2. Right. Yeah. I know. So from producing here from years, I know way too much about people's emails and Twitter handles at this network. His email, though, I can't remember because there's so many letters going on.
Oh, speaking of Mateo Brown, he will be on with Stormy today. How about that?
There we go.
The band is back together.
Yeah.
Hopefully she won't have him eating chips that will put him near death. Do you remember that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
What
was that segment called? Bets or Consequences? Something like
Bets
that,
Bets or Consequences.
Right?
And apparently Matt had to eat one of these tortilla chips that is designed to like kill you.
It was like, you know, the thing going around on the internet like 2 years ago with those chips that killed that had people dying basically.
Matt almost perished, for real.
He did.
He almost died. I'm also supposed to hang out with Matt Brown today because there's a Challenger tennis tournament in Vegas.
You were telling me this. Where are they playing this at?
Darling. So I'm going to go bet low-level tennis.
Nice. Tennis is one of the best sports, to bet while you're there, while you're in attendance.
It's so good. But you can't heckle, though, because then the ump will get mad at you.
I'm actually trying to think if there's another sport I like to bet more when I'm in attendance. I think tennis might be number one.
Really?
Yeah, just live betting when you know the action's right in front of you.
Kelly Bidlin watches debates, likes to bet live tennis.
Delray Beach Open? Oh, man, many days just late. Yeah.
Delray Beach Open.
A few cocktails in me, just spread out, so much room middle of the day.
You had a drink? No.
Well, it's so great, Gil, because you can walk to the bars and then the beach, you know? It's a really great location.
We do get tweets, Cowboys_Cubs1. I'm sorry. The level of hate in your first segment, Kelly Bin Laden's hate for America and Gil's hate for the Bills and Lions has me thinking you both need a hug. I love you, mothers, he said. Have a love-filled day. Judd O'Connor, have you two found yourself leaning a lot towards favorites this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm getting spooked putting together my five. Yeah, if you just heard the first segment. I'm all about it. Numbers Guys points out that the Saints, after 1 week, are #1 in DVOA. There you go. Aaron Schatz's catch-all stat. over there, not catch all, but really granular play by play over there at FTN Sports. And he says, greatest sports radio show of all time. He says it's Game Time with Steve Zabin. Where you at and what you hauling? I was supposed to do something with Zabe this year, Fridays.
Yeah, I remember you saying football. That. Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Zabe. I got to call Zabe. RDW, let's see. Both men's and women's U.S. Open final had an average of only 1.8 million viewers. Brutal. I know it could be hotter, but they should move to August when there's no football that counts yet. Well, that's the issue, is that the finals always occur. Well, not the the women's final is on college football Saturday, but the men's final is always during the first day of the NFL season. So
why don't they just why don't they just move it up a day?
It's a tradition, man. It's a tradition.
I know we traditionally have the women's final on Saturday, the men's on Sunday, but if you just move the whole thing up on a day, you completely avoid that NFL thing.
Yeah, they're not going to move it. They make so much money in that tournament for sponsorships.
Oh, yeah.
$500 million they net from the U.S. Open. It's incredible. And now for a segment, ladies and gentlemen, that strangely might cannibalize one of our Friday segments. We call it NFL Week Overreaction or Not an Overreaction. And here's our fancy intro. Is this going to cannibalize our Are We Sure We Know thing on Friday? Conversations Kelly and I
maybe
should have before the show.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. There might be some tie-ins. There might be some similarities. But, okay. Right. I think you always got to do the NFL Week 1 overreaction, especially on a Wednesday. You got to wait a full 2 days, then talk about it.
How do you want to do this? You want to throw them up?
I'm just going to throw some things at you, okay? I wrote down a bunch of notes that feels like are the general consensus coming away from Week 1. 49ers are the best team in the NFC. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction because I thought that before the game. I thought they were the best team in the NFC all offseason.
Okay.
Yeah, not an overreaction.
I feel like that is, and I would even include myself in the group of, I don't know, I had a bunch of teams kind of all, I had Eagles, Lions, 49ers all right there. I think I fall in the group of, yes, 49ers have now taken the lead.
The Niners were better than the Lions and Eagles and whomever else before the game. They're still better than them.
Okay. The Panthers are the worst team in the NFL again.
It's hard to disagree with that, man.
I know.
It's hard to say that's an overreaction because, again, we went through this a number of times in the offseason. I won't again. As bad as you thought Bryce Young's season was last year, it was more historically bad than you can even sort of gotten with your eyes. Like when you went through the whole FTN preview about it, it was incredible. And he came out, the first pass was a pick, and then it went downhill from there. So I don't think that's an overreaction. As bad as Washington's defense was, as bad as the Giants looked, it's not an overreaction.
I think the statement is an overreaction only because not as many people were saying that before the season this year. We were talking a lot about the Patriots and the Giants.
Oh, okay. In that respect, you're right.
Right.
In that respect, you're right. Because the Patriots, we said more than we talked more about in that respect than the Panthers.
That's the only, I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm going to go with the statement alone is kind of an overreaction. Is the team actually the worst team in the NFL? Yeah, quite possible.
I'm looking for a major overreaction.
Right, okay.
That wouldn't be one.
All right, the Browns offense will never work with Deshaun Watson under center.
See, I think that is an overreaction to make it that definitive because, no, if he has one more bad game, we are really
at that point.
In bad territory.
Okay.
But I don't think after a game against the Cowboys defense, you can say that. And I get it. The off the field things tend to then, and I don't know if people acknowledge it or not. But
I'm not even talking about that.
No. Let me finish the statement. I think that tends to seep into people's minds because people, justifiably or not, right? They enjoy sort of hating on him at this point. You play one game against the Cowboys and you stink. I don't think you can jump to the conclusion that the Browns offense will never work with him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's an overreaction.
Okay.
But catch me one week from now.
I was gonna say,
catch me 7 days from now. And if he has another bad game, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, it's done.
I was going to say, I agree. But the case against him is stacking up in that regard.
That was another thing Drew said yesterday. He went immediately to DTR.
And you and I were talking about that after the show.
He jumped over Jameis.
I've never been so offended in my life. I had to like double check. I was like, is DTR still on the roster? He must be.
Is.
And he is the third stringer,
yes.
Drew. Okay, third stringer on that team. We will see Jameis Winston first. All right, moving on. The Cowboys will threaten the Eagles for the NFC East title.
That's not an overreaction at all. I was more down on the Eagles on the offseason than most, and I conceded. I was like, and even being more down on the Eagles, they could still win the division. But the way you said it, the Cowboys will threaten the Eagles. That's not an overreaction at all. Of course they will. They could win it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Patriots will go over their 4.5 win total.
Ooh. That. Man, Aaron Schatz might have been right. Is that an overreaction? I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it is, too.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
I think it is, too. Although I brought this up a couple times during the summer. And yes, I'm the guy with everything under on the Patriots and last winless and all of that stuff. Yes. And fewest wins. Yes. Last winless lost already. But, man, it sure feels like Jacoby Brissett's going to matter in a positive way to them. Like, that is just a
competent, credible quarterback.
He's going to mess around and help them win one or two more games than they should.
The year that he replaced Andrew Luck, this is like one of these things that got lost in history.
Absolutely.
The year that he replaced Andrew Luck, I think the Colts ended up 4-12, I want to say. They were ahead in almost every game in the fourth quarter. And people are like, oh, he sucks. Well, not exactly.
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you, man. All right. Caleb Williams will not be the best rookie quarterback.
Oh, that's not an overreaction at all. He will absolutely not be the best rookie quarterback. And again, I keep going back to the Merrill Hodge thing. We got to replay that Merrill Hodge thing. When he was on the show before the draft, he's like, he's nothing special. And, you know, Todd Wishnev, who's on the Megapod.
Didn't Merrill also say that about like every quarterback, though?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Oh, wait, of all the rookies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Caleb was the one getting the hype, though.
Yeah, no, he was.
But I don't think this is an overreaction because I think Jaden Daniels seems really comfortable running. And so just on the ground alone, Jaden Daniels is going to be better than Caleb Williams. But one of the, you know, Wishnev said this about Caleb Williams, which I thought was great. He's like, think about it. At USC, what were his best plays? He would just run around, avoid a sack. And then his five-star athletes would eventually get open over the opponent's four stars. It's kind of his college career.
So, yeah, he took that one bad sack last week, too, trying to do that, right? It was the pass rush is coming.
Oh, doesn't work
just,
in the NFL.
Let me just run back.
Because you know like what? Everybody yards. In the NFL is a five-star.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, all the Chargers needed was Jim Harbaugh.
All right, easy. That's an overreaction. They still have nobody on offense. Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, you getting closer to them on Survivor this week?
Not quite.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Just to follow up I will not be using the Chargers.
That's
the only thing I've settled on.
That Survivor clip got a lot of traction.
It was a good conversation.
And we came to no conclusion.
Yeah. Except I've come to that conclusion. Okay, last one for you. The Jets are the same old Jets.
It's an overreaction. They played the Niners. You're allowed to lose to the Niners. Now, did they look terrible? Yes, but it's one game. I still think the Jets are wildly talented, and I'll use the line I've used offseason. If they get any modicum of performance from Aaron Rodgers, they're a playoff team and maybe can win the division.
Man, they did not look good, though.
But, you know, Trent Williams is in there banging on you.
Yeah.
And the Rook as well. I like that little segment. We'll run back in some form on Friday. We will come back. Sia Najad joins us. Talk a little golf in NFL. That's next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Well, we have the solution for you. Introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. SportTrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Already live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa. SportTrade coming to Arizona and Virginia this fall. Download SportTrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Yeah, that's your first week, by the way. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here in A Numbers Game at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You know what I didn't make enough of, by the way?
What?
Mark Borchard's heartfelt, I will not bet against the Mets and the Yankees on 9/11.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Steve the Proxy tweets in. He said, as a native New Yorker that bleeds orange and blue, we don't get a lot of all-time moments. The Piazza walk-off in the first game back from 9/11 is one of the greatest Mets moments of this century. It's easy to get emotional seeing it. Piazza is a Hall of Famer, and that's his best moment. Derby Day Day. Despite the start of football, baseball is still going strong. Shout out to Sporer going 6-0 on a numbers game yesterday. Did he go 6-0 yesterday?
I guess so.
Did I miss that? Well, good on Sporer. Okay. Brandon Kyles. Hey, thank you, Brandon Kyles. Our pre-flop Padres season win total, my favorite season win total of the entire year before the season started in Major League Baseball was the Padres over. I gave an impassioned speech at the time as to why, and the Padres win total cashes. Now we got 9 more wins to go for our second favorite on the Cubs over. he points out as well.
I really wish I could back up this Paul Sporer thing. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe.
Was that on VSiN Plus?
Where right, seriously, yeah.
3JackH3131 was on a Zoom call for work, and I heard you say tennis bets, and I immediately muted the call. Thanks for getting us all through our work weeks. Thank you, 3Jack. Kevin Ryan, Gil, with the change in venue for a numbers game and the brilliant idea for you and Kelly to switch seats, the show can only now be described as exhilarating and electric. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, take it. A week and a half in.
I know Kelly's exhilarating and electric. My God.
I had high expectations, but that's, wow.
Also exhilarating electric, Sia Najad, everybody, from the Monumental Sports Network in the DMV. That's what the cool kids call D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. He's the host and analyst for the Monumental Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad. That's S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Joins us on the Progressive guest line and now to talk golf and football. How you doing, Sia?
I'm exhilarated and excited. I can't wait to talk football. We got golf. I'm filling out DFS lineups for both sports. There's a lot going on. Baseball, as you guys just previously mentioned, it's a nice sports time.
It is. It's the best. October, to me, is the best of them all. But there's so many great sports times, but October still wins for me. Pro Core Championship. What did these used to be called? And this is the traditional post golf season, if you will, tournament, correct?
Yeah, a lot of people refer to this as the fall swing. This is the beginning of it. It's the Pro Core, but people may be familiar with the Fortinet Championship, which this was previously called. And I think before that, maybe the Safeway Open. You know, listen, these are lesser tournaments where you're not going to see a lot of the huge names like Scottie Scheffler or Xander Schauffele. But there are some big time players, some President's Cup players, including Sahith Theegala, Max Homa, Wyndham Clark. So there's some names here. But what I love about these tournaments, Gil and Kelly, is that it lends itself to somebody further down the board winning or somebody further down the board cashing in a top 20 or top 40 market or potentially a first round leader cashing at long odds.
You mentioned Theegala. You're all over him in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's been really good here before. He's probably the most talented guy. I mean, I would probably put him and Wyndham Clark as the most talented guys in this field. He's a California kid, which is going to help on a California course. And so he kind of checks all the boxes. I hate taking a short shot. He's one of, you know, five outrights that I like in this tournament. But he is the short shot that I like just because I think the talent gap is there, and especially when you consider the course history. So Sahith Theegala is an outright I like. I like Luke Clanton, the amateur that is
Clanton.
He's been very impressive. I like him at plus 2,500, even though he's got a lack of experience here. Eric Cole is a guy that's a big time birdie maker. He can kind of crash and burn for you, but at 40-1, I'm willing to find out because later in the season, Eric Cole started to get really hot. And then a couple kind of random names, Mac Meisner at 50-1 and Patrick Fishburne, 75-1. Those are some outrights for you.
Patrick Fishburne. What did you scream? Clanton? Was that Clanton, what you screamed?
Florida State. Hey, it's the only thing Florida State's got to root for right now. Okay. So, yeah.
Not on that list, JJ Spahn. I heard a lot of people loving JJ Spahn here.
Yeah, I like JJ Spahn. I think he's a good play. I think he's a safe play. I mean, I think I'd probably prefer to play him in the top 20 market. I don't think he's going to close in a tournament with guys like Luke Clanton, who are more talented. Potentially Eric Cole, I think, is probably a better birdie maker, although Spahn actually rivals him there. But then you include Sahith Theegala, Wyndham Clark. I think Spahn is one of those guys that can finish seventh, and you're not surprised by it. But finishing first, it's not for me.
Okay. And it wouldn't be a Sia Najad segment without first round leaders bets. What do you got?
Yeah, these are all morning tea times. So a lot of this will mirror some of the outrights, but some of the outrights that I liked didn't have morning tea times. So you'll get a couple different names. Sahith Theegala, 30-1. Eric Cole at 60-1. Patrick Fishburne at 75-1, who, by the way, is the great nephew of Lawrence Fishburne. Neil Shipley at plus 7,500, 75-1. Chad Ramey, 110-1. I completely just lied about the Patrick Fishburne
thing. I was just going to say. I'm like, what?
I was going to hold it for like 5 seconds.
I was already like, what's your favorite Lawrence Fishburne movie now? It doesn't even matter.
I was going to Google that immediately. Yeah. I was like, how did I not know this? What a great drop. I see it.
Okay. And anything else? Top 40 bet you said you had as well?
Yeah, I like Mac Meisner quite a bit. Again, the only reason he's not in the first round leader market is because he's an afternoon tee time. But I think Mac Meisner is one of those games you're going to start hearing, not just in the fall swing, but when we start up at the Century or early next year in January. I think Mac Meisner is a really good play in really good form. Love the ball striking, can pop with the putter.
See you just making stuff up about relationships or relatives, that kind of thing.
If Mac I was Meisner's on camera not even a real he dropped player. That up, man.
See, he went to the great nephew, by the way, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk NFL. Your thoughts on week one. Like, what was your biggest takeaway from week one?
you know, it's interesting, a little recency bias here because it was the last game we saw, but the Jets looked like a mess. And I'm a big Jets guy. I like them to win the AFC East. For the record, I still like them to win the AFC East. They clearly missed Hassan Reddick, but I think the Niners kind of reminded everybody that not only are they the most talented team, but that Kyle Shanahan's probably the best coach. Again, I've said this before, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, the top two coaches in the league. I mean, Robert Saleh looked just so unbelievably confused. They didn't know what to do on defense. And I think if this team stays relatively healthy at key positions, and now key positions include running back with CMC, but Jordan Mason certainly spelling him for at least a little bit, this Niners team is reminding everybody that perhaps not the Detroit Lions, not the Green Bay Packers, not the Philadelphia Eagles should be the front runners here. And I understand the Niners were already the front runners, but the trendy thing to do was to say, hey, this is not the 49ers year, it's somebody else's. And in the NFC, I just don't think that's the case.
What did you land on for week two?
So far, I like the Colts. I mean, I'm just going to fade Malik Willis. I don't really understand why this line is three. I mean, I'm taking the bait here. It was 3.5. Now it's toggled down to 3. Maybe it kicks back up, but it looks like a lot of people have faith that Green Bay at home is going to be that team. Like, I was on the Colts last week. I actually had them money line, but I also had them plus 3. They ended up covering the spread. And don't forget, this team was one unbelievable third down and 11 conversion between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins from getting the ball back and kicking a game-winning field goal. Anthony Richardson missed a lot of throws. But what I like about this game in particular is that you got Malik Willis at the quarterback position, but this defensive line is so underrated. And by the way, they got after C.J. Stroud. He had a good game because he's a great quarterback, but Malik Willis is not. And if this defensive line gets after Malik Willis, I don't think he's going to be able to run a Matt LaFleur offense smoothly at all. I think Anthony Richardson is good enough with his legs and his arm to cover this spread. So I really like the Colts. Other ones I'm considering, the Niners going into Minnesota and covering a 6-point spread. I kind of like that. I'm considering, get this, I'm considering taking Carolina, especially if this kicks up to 7 at home against the Chargers. I haven't done it yet. I'm considering it.
Because let's be honest, and we said this, I mean, I said this on Guessing Lines when Kelly told me what the number was. I was like, you got to be kidding me, right? Like, the Chargers should not be this big of a favorite over anybody on the road. But yet, do you have the onions to take the Panthers plus the points, which is probably the right thing to do, right? The right for the, you know, if you're doing this by the book.
I'm standing by my 7.5 number, though. Get me to 7.5 and I'll be in.
Right,
I'll be in.
Right, but if it gets to 7.5, are you going to be like, I'm in 10.5?
No. At 7.5, I will stand by it with my hard-earned money.
Okay.
But not until then. Sorry, see ya.
I like
good
seeing
luck.
That.
I think it's a great sign.
I like that you say you're considering it, but you haven't gotten there quite yet, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Kelly's right. The money right now looks to be on the Carolina plus 6.5. But we know how this goes. As the days go by, people are like, I just can't stay away from this. They're going to take it at 6.5. It kicks up to 7. Maybe you can take an alt line at 7.5 by the time of kickoff at like minus 120. So, I mean, I think it's safe to wait on that one. And if it is 7.5, I will go ahead and bet it.
All right. See ya. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Sia Najad on the Progressive Guest Line at Sia Najad. Again, Monumental Sports Network in the DMV. I had a malpractice at the beginning of the show. I did not say who was going to be on at the beginning of the next hour.
Yeah, you were grilling me about debates.
I had debate fever is what I had. Cleve TA is about to join us for not one but two segments. One of the best Twitter follows on the NFL that there is. I'm going to ask him about stuff I've said this week that he finds ridiculous. Maybe he has found something ridiculous. About as good of an NFL mind as there is at CleveAnalytics.com. Cleve TA on Twitter. He will join us. Jason Weingarten as well. Oh, we got the Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week a little later on. Cleve TA on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin right here on a numbers game. Still to come, Cleve TA on the National Football League, as well as Jason Weingarten. And we will talk a little later on. We have Cleve. I want to get this one tweet before we get to Cleve here.
Sure.
Ronnie Rojo asks, he goes, any thoughts on the Pro Corps Championship in Napa this week from you?
I don't know if that was directed at me, but this is lightly bet event for me this week. You will see, I'll be involved in these fall series events. There's eight of them. There are qualification points on the line, basically, for the PGA Tour season, which now starts. We are kind of in the first year where we're doing this full calendar year PGA Tour season. So how this is going to work, once the Tour Championship ends, then you'll have this fall series where it's eight events, allows guys to still build up points to try to get move up into the FedEx Cup standings, into events, into signature events, especially the first two signature events for next year. So you'll see... You're never going to see great fields in any of these, Gil, but this is one of the ones where you will have a little bit better field, especially with the President's Cup coming up. So a few big names playing in this one. So just a few outrights for me here. This is a resort course. Guys go low. You see a lot of birdies. Winning score is going to be around 20 under. So you mentioned J.J. Spahn. I'm on J.J. Spahn. Great approach numbers. I do think this is one of the last tournaments that you can use some of your summer data from in recent form looking at that. So Heath the Gala 12-1, not 2-1 if you are watching at home. So yeah, I am pulling still some of my recent data for this tournament. So JJ Spahn, one name, the next name, not going to surprise anybody. Well, when you gotta drive the ball straight and long off the tee and you need good approach and then the greens are very tough to putt on, you bet Keith Mitchell.
Wow,
Keith Mitchell, 40-1 back on the card. And then Rico Hoey, my last one, 80-1. Guy who's been was playing really well during the summer. We'll see if he can keep it going during the fall. He'll probably be playing in a lot of these events during the fall.
All right. He is probably one of the finest minds. I'll say the finest. He won't accept this sort of compliment for me, but he's certainly one of the finest minds on gambling Twitter when it comes to the NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at CleveTA. That's CLEVTA. Comes on the Megapod about once a year. We have him on the show from time to time as well. He was kind enough to join us this offseason for some NFL preview thoughts. It's CleveTA now from Cleveland, Ohio, where, of course, he is a big Brownies fan. How you doing, Cleve?
Oh, man, don't put that on me already after last week. That's a tough one.
Well, let's start there. Where do you stay? Because we've gotten questions, as I'm sure everybody has, about is this the end? Are we approaching the end for Deshaun Watson? Can you read into one performance against what is considered a very good Cowboys defense? Where do you stand on the Browns?
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, going into this year, he probably had the widest range of outcomes, I think, of any quarterback in the NFL, just because we've seen him be elite and we've seen him be really bad in the last couple of years. So, you know, none of it really would shock me. And so week one was not a total stunner, especially considering he didn't play a single preseason snap. He was down to his third left tackle against a really good pass rush. I mean, Micah Parsons was just wrecking that game. It's a brand new offensive system with Ken Dorsey at offensive coordinator. So, you know, there's a lot of headwinds here, and he's obviously coming off of the injury. So the fact that he really struggled didn't surprise me. I actually had an under in that game. I tossed the CLV in the toilet. I had under 43. I think I closed 41, and I was pushing until that last meaningless touchdown at the end. But so I thought that there would be some rust and that he would struggle. You know, he probably looked worse than you would imagine, but, you know, it wasn't a total stunner. I mean, he did, for whatever it's worth, in the fourth quarter. Yeah, the Cowboys called off the dogs, but they still had their starters in there. Did make a couple of really nice throws. I think he had four drops amongst his wide receivers. Amari Cooper dropped an easy touchdown. It was actually a great throw. He got hit as he delivered the ball about 40 yards down the field. One of the better throws he's had as a Brown, to be honest, and Cooper just dropped it. So, you know, there were a couple of bright spots, but not many overall. And, you know, you don't want to totally put your head in the sand, but, you know, I think we have to give it a little bit more time than just completely write them off after week one.
Yeah, especially with the contract, right? The contract makes it almost completely prohibitive for them to move on, doesn't it? Like, you can't admit that mistake and then eat all that dead cap money.
No, I mean, you can't. I mean, cutting him makes no sense. You could, but the way the Browns have, and again, there's capologists out there who are much smarter than me on this. But my understanding is just the way that the Browns have, you know, put this contract together and the way they've built this roster, and they've pushed a lot of his money into the back. And so in future years where the cap keeps going up. So it's actually, you know, it's like an interest free credit card, right? Like if your salary increases, and you don't have to pay interest on it, you'd rather just pay, you know, your credit card off when you have more money. And it's kind of the same concept that the way the Browns have set up their contract. So it's going to hurt, obviously, if they cut him in, you know, in a year or two, or even just make him a backup. But it's not as bad as it could be as if it was today, and just the way they've structured it. So, you know, it's one of those things that we've seen teams like Denver has done it with Russell Wilson. We saw the Eagles do it with Carson Wentz. We've seen, you know, Atlanta do it, Matt Ryan. Like, teams have done it. Like, to this extent, it's probably you know, not as large, but it's happened. So I still think that they're gonna do everything they can to try to see this thing through. And you know, we'll see what happens here. But it doesn't, if he continues on this track, he's either just gonna be the highest paid backup who's ever played in sports, or they're gonna have to figure out something. But that would not be the ideal scenario.
All right. Well, thank you for amusing me with the Cleveland Browns portion of this. I know that was difficult for you. I'll ask of you what I asked of Drew Dinsick a couple days. The first question I asked of him, which is, all right, we have 1 week. No one wants to overreact. But did you see anything in week one that doesn't necessarily completely change your thinking, but at least you filed away and you're like, okay, I should probably keep an eye on this?
Well, you know, obviously the Carolina thing was—I was one of the many who are on Carolina, just hoping that you know, they could show some signs of life, and that was really disappointing. I mean, it was right off the bat too. The game was over just in the first two drives.
So bad.
And you know, I wasn't picking them to, you know, make the playoffs or anything. I think I had them as 5 wins in my preview, but you know, I thought they could at least be frisky and come out of the gate, you know, competitive. And just to completely, you know, throw a dud like that out there was really disappointing. But otherwise, I think the one thing that really took away, and Gil, you'll appreciate this, is I forgot how bad Cliff Kingsbury is as an offensive coach.
Dude.
I mean, I was on Washington. I'm a fader of Tampa generally this year. And I just thought that Jaden Daniels had some real upside. You know, no one's seen him before. I thought, you know, he looked good in preseason. His legs, I mean, he was awesome running the ball. And I think he could have moved the ball down the field a little bit more. They did move the ball on occasion. They missed 2 field goals. Obviously, Dan Quinn settling for field goals, like, when, you know, that's obvious. But just Cliff Kingsbury just had him throw horizontally. That's what he did with Kyler Murray in Arizona, and he was doing the same thing here. Like, I think he threw 2 or 3 balls down the field, and that was it. He had time to throw. He had opportunities if they wanted to try, and they just never did. And it just goes to show you, like, Cliff Kingsbury is just the same old guy. So if Daniels plays well and they do score some points, it's probably, you know, not due to anything Kingsbury is doing, just to the talent. But, you know, that's something I'm thinking about going forward, is just I don't think that Cliff can really adjust here. And you're not going to get the best of Washington's offense here going forward.
Yeah. How I like to say with Cliff Kingsbury is he's the guy that managed to make Patrick Holmes not apparent to be the number one pick of the draft, right? Like, when he was at Texas Tech, the fact that we were sort of taken off the scent of Patrick Mahomes, yeah, not to mention Kyler Murray and so on and so forth. Okay. Were you, let me just sort of lead on with something to week one before we get to week two. Were you at all shocked by the Jets against the Niners? I know it's the Niners. I know the Niners are great. I know you were a Brock Purdy guy last year, as I was. But while the Jets looked good in the very first couple drives on defense, if not on offense, they had the one drive where they kept getting the third down conversions to Garrett Wilson. But after that, were you alarmed by the fact that they just seemed to have no answers whatsoever?
You know, so I was on the Niners. It was a bet I made at 3.5. It was a contest play for me. I didn't understand all the Jets love. Like, you have a 40-year-old quarterback off a torn Achilles. You know, the Achilles stuff, but it's a 40-year-old quarterback on its own, coming off of an Achilles with brand new teammates, hasn't played in 2 years against that defense. Like, it just, to me, I like the Jets this year. That was not the spot to take them. Like, to me, that was just a horrible position. And defensively, you know, you lose Bryce Huff in the offseason. You lose John Franklin Myers. You don't have Hassan Reddick. So your pass rush takes a hit. And that was the strength of your defense. So I just felt like there was a lot of headwinds here for the Jets. And I didn't think that these teams were within 4 points for that to occur. So it didn't surprise me, just because, and I actually had an alt San Francisco -12.5 at like +330. So I did see some outlier upside for the Niners. So that didn't surprise me me at all. I will say, just getting completely pushed around, I thought Jordan Mason looked awesome. He looked like Marion Barber a little bit, right?
Yes.
Like
just same breaking number.
On, yeah. You know, maybe it's number 24, yeah. Maybe because he got the dreads, but just he's a hammer. He's tough to bring down. And maybe the Jets were just planning on, stopping Christian McCaffrey, and it was a totally – totally different mindset defensively. I don't know. But, you know, this defense has struggled of late, even back to the Browns game at the end of last year with Joe Flacco. They torched that defense. So I don't know if there's something underlying that we're missing here defensively, but this is extended into to Monday night. So that is something I'm definitely keeping an eye on, and a little bit of alarming is just how much they got pushed around defensively. I'll say Aaron Rodgers looked okay. Like, I thought he was fine. They just didn't. He didn't move, just like Kirk Cousins. Like they were stuck in the pocket, as you'd expect. And you know, they didn't really try to throw the ball a lot. There's a lot of first and second down runs, putting them in third and long situations, which is not something you want to do. But that's Hackett, I guess. I don't know. Oh. I mean, I'm not sure. Are they gonna let him throw the ball more on first downs, or are they just trying to ease him in? I'm not sure. But that was I think alarming on for the offensive side as well.
TA, we'll come back. We'll talk all things week 2, all of your bets that you're making. It's a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.